Our first reading is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who watches over you will not fall asleep. Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand, so that the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. It is he who shall keep you safe. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. This is the word of hope.
Thanks be to God.
As Christmas is quickly approaching, we charge ahead with all our dreams and our plans, marching forward with confidence that, unlike years in the past, this year we'll get everything done ahead of time, it'll be all organized, and it will be perfect. And then, of course, something happens. And it never works out the way we had planned and envisioned that it would. And perhaps for some of us in our lives this year, it's not just simply coming up to Christmas time where plans seem to be disrupted, but there can be more serious things that happen to us, our families, friends, neighbors, communities. There's that sudden rising of illness. There's disappointment and frustration with our work situations or our life situations. There's brokenness, loss, animosity in a relationship. Or there can be the death of a loved one, a friend, a colleague. Any of a thousand things can happen that cause us to stumble, to see that everything that we had planned and wanted to have happen just isn't going to happen that way. And instead of hope, there is the loss of confidence, and we feel helpless. And the kind of manufactured Christmas cheeriness that you hear in all of the stores around you don't help. Things are falling apart, and to hear "deck the halls with boughs of holly," fa la 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 la, right? Hardly do you feel jolly. Things aren't going that way. Seems to be the case for our psalmist as well. And he recognizes at times like this that it is God who is there for us. He says, "My help comes from the Lord." God does not eliminate all of our troubles, but God is with us and accompanies us through them. God is our help. When the world feels like things are falling apart, God is there, who has the power to compassionately transform our lives and help us through suffering and the struggles which we have. The good news from this psalm is that we are not alone. God is the one who is with us and will see us through all things. The psalm ends with that promise. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Let us pray.
Steadfast and loving God, in the midst of our struggles and frustrations, we ask how long. Show us your compassion. Hold us in your love. Give us the courage, patience, and strength to face each new day. Hear our prayer for the sake of Christ, who faithfully endure all the struggles of humanity. Amen.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. This is the word of peace.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, but I'm glad that 2018 is almost over. It's not one of our better years, if you will. Certainly, world events haven't been so great this year. There's been hurricanes, wildfires, all sorts of other climate change and destructions, mass shootings, terrorist attacks. For folks in our communities, they've been grappling with illness, hospitalization, deaths, addictions, family conflicts, and on it goes. Paul talks about that tension between what has already been received and what still lies ahead. He says that he is unconcerned about the things that lie behind. Earlier in his letter, he called the things that lie behind skibola, which is the Greek word for shit. And indeed, all of us know shit happens. But the good news is that with God's help, we are straining toward the things that lie ahead. Paul uses the image of a runner. Like Usain Bolt, that great track runner, as you come to that finish line, right, you're there and your outstretched hands like that, grasping, if you will, for the future, for the finish. The thing that always strikes me about that is those hands that are out there reaching, it's empty. There's nothing in them. And yet victory seems to be there. And so too, we seem to come to God so often empty-handed. But that's all right, because God is the one who provides us with what we need. The old gospel hymn, Rock of Ages, has this line in it: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling." God gives us the love. God gives us the forgiveness. God gives us peace and life. And so we, like Paul and all people of faith, come to God with outstretched hands, knowing that God will fill them with grace and compassion, peace and life. Let us pray.
Ever-present and assuring God, within the hectic pace of our lives
and in all our turmoil and uncertainty, give us your peace. Enable us to slow down our lives, to find room for you, and to know of the certainty of your promise of abundant life. Hear our prayer for the sake of Christ, who is born our Prince of Peace. Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of joy.
Thanks be to God.
There's great things happening in this section from Isaiah. A wilderness is going to be blossoming. Those who are sick in any way will be restored to health. Those who have been captive or enslaved will be ransomed and redeemed. Those who are unable to function physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, will all find their rest and their restoration in God. God has moved into our situation. God comes to bring order into the chaos of our lives, to heal and bring a sense of wholeness to life in the midst of sickness or brokenness or loss. Brokenness, dysfunction, disability will be broken by the transformative power of God's compassion and of God working in us and with us. Life-denying situations now give way to God's peace, to God's shalom. One of the things that struck me in this reading, and it would for all of you too, if you would have read it in Hebrew, is that the grammar here is terrible. It is nothing but sentence fragments. And isn't that the way our lives are often constructed? Nothing but sentence fragments. And what holds all those fragments together? God. God is the one, whether it is in the wilderness of our lives, whether it has to do with disease and illness and disability in our lives, whether it has to do with obstacles that seem to hold us down and keep us captive, God is there to redeem, to heal, to guide, to comfort. God is the one who holds together our lives, which at times seem so fragmented. God is the one who restores us to shalom, to peace, to well-being, to seeing that indeed our lives have meaning and purpose, because that meaning and purpose is provided by a gracious and loving God. Pray. Life-giving and renewing God, turn our mourning into joy, our fear into faith, and our loss into blessing. Renew and transform our lives, that they may be lived in joy in your presence, and in witness and service to your whole creation. Hear our prayer for the sake of Christ, who is the beginning and end of your love for us and all creation. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This one was present with God in the beginning. Through him all things came into being, and apart from him not a single thing came to be. That which had come to be in him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness did not put it out. This is the word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Martin Luther, in looking at this passage in John and the rest of John's prologue that goes on till through verse 18, says that what we see happening here is a glorious or joyous exchange. that Christ becomes who we are, human beings, so that we might become who Christ is, one who lives totally and completely within the presence of God. And because of that, all things that are Christ's are also ours. Luther gets this notion of this joyous exchange from Roman law. The old Roman law that has to do with, of all things, marriage. And according to Roman law, there were two ways of recognizing property rights. One, you own it, so it's yours. Or two, you marry into it, so it's yours. So that, for example, you have nothing, but you happen to marry a partner who has everything, and guess what? It's now yours. You too have the right to everything that your partner has. And that's what happens here. That's the great gift exchange that Christmas is really all about. In Christ becoming human, God is joined so fully and completely to humanity that Christ takes on our life, and we are entitled to Christ's life. Our hopes, our dreams, our faults, our trials, our ills, our ups and downs, our daily, weekly, yearly situations are now taken on and taken up by Christ. And the good news of all of that is, no matter how dark that might be, the darkness cannot put out that light of Christ in us. There is no brokenness, no loss, no evil that can overcome Christ's goodness and love for us. There is nothing that can expel us from God's grace that says, I'm sorry, you don't own it, it's not yours. It is. It is the gift that is ours. There is no obstacle that can extinguish Christ's life within us. Because Christ is born, we are entitled to the full use of God's grace, God's goodness, and God's love. And therein lies that sense of joy. Friedrich Buechner, in his book that talks about joy in the Gospels, has this to say about it. Joy is home. God created us in joy and created us for joy. And in the long run, not all the darkness there is in the world and in ourselves can separate us finally from that joy. Because whatever else it means to say that God creates us in God's own image, I think it means that even when we cannot believe in God, even when we feel most spiritually bankrupt and deserted by God, God's mark is deep down within us. We have God's joy in our blood. Let us pray.
Comforting and consoling God, when adversity and fear confront us and seem to overwhelm us, come to our aid. Still the storms in our lives, calm our fears and soothe our pain. Hear our prayer for the sake of Christ, who comes to us and walks with us.
You are our